What seems so strange, it dishonors those who go before us. So lift me up to the light of change. There is hurting in my family, and there is sorrow in my town. There is panic all across the nation, and there is wailing the whole world round. But I am open, and I am willing, for to be hopeless would seem so strange. It dishonors those who go before us. So lift me up to the light of change. May the children see more clearly, and may the elders be more wise. May the winds of change caress us, even though they burn our eyes. But I am open, and I am willing, for to be hopeless would seem so strange. It dishonors those who go before us. So lift me up to the light of change.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, friends. This is the day that God is creating. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Worship is a time of reorientation, and we come together to be reoriented out of the ways of the world and its structures and mindset, and oriented into the ways of God and God's ways and God's will. And so remember that as we gather this morning, that worship is a time that we prayerfully and we open up to the Spirit to reorient us in this world, to remember who we are and whose we are. So welcome to this time of reorientation. My name is Katie. My pronouns are she, her. I'm the pastor here at Tabernacle United Church, and I'm glad to be worshiping with you and to be reorienting myself with you into this space and into this time of worship. I want to give a special welcome also to those of you who are visiting with us for the first time. If this is your first time here, we're glad that you've joined us. Thank you for being here. We want to invite you, if you're comfortable, to share your name with us in the chat box, so you can share your name and a little bit even about yourself if you'd like, and we'd love to welcome you there. You can also fill out our virtual visitor card. We'll put that link in the chat, and when you have a few moments after the service, if you would fill that out, we'd love to be in touch with you and connect further. So welcome each and every one this morning. I have a few announcements I'd like to share with us. First of all, I want to put a reminder out that we will be gathering again today at 11:45 for our abolition curriculum. This is our Sunday school class that we've been doing throughout the summer that's put out by the Mennonite Church. And so we're going to be continuing our discussions and wrestling with policing, what policing is about, the call for abolition, and what our faith has to say about that call and about policing. So it's been a really deep and rich experience, and we're glad to gather again today. So that's 11:45. We'll be meeting on this same meeting link. So you can either stay, you can take a break if you need and come back, or you can just go off the meeting and then click on the same link, and you'll be back for that time. That's at 11:45. We thank Heather Bird and Amanda Fox, who are facilitating today, and Pax as well will be doing the tech. So we give thanks for those folks and those leaders. Also a reminder that we'll gather this week on Tuesday and Thursday morning at 8:30 for prayer. So that's on Zoom. If you'd like to be a part of that, but don't have the Zoom link or aren't on our listserv, let us know so we can get you connected there. We won't have Bible study this week, but we'll be back the following week at 5:30. We are meeting this week for Bible study at 5:30. So we will put out the link for that as well. Finally, I wanted to give a special welcome and short introduction to our guest preacher this morning. The Reverend Chaz Howard is here. Chaz is the university chaplain at University of Pennsylvania and has been, prior to his work there, has been doing various service around chaplaincy through with hospitals and hospice work as well as being a street outreach worker to folks experiencing homelessness. I also have been truly grateful to have gotten to know Chaz over the past year and a half. And a little bit longer, actually, as we've been in a clergy cohort group together. We come together once a month to support each other, to learn, and it's been a really great experience to be in Chaz's presence on a regular basis. And so now I feel so happy to call Chaz a friend and have been truly gifted already by his friendship and also his witness and ministry in our midst and in this world. So I'm really honored and grateful that he is visiting here and is going to bring us the word. So I want to give a special welcome to Chaz, and you can see him hopefully on the screen right now. And we'll be hearing from him in a little bit later in the service as he preaches. So all of those things to orient us now to this time of worship. So let's come now and come together and worship the God of life and the God of liberation. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Jim. My pronouns are he and his, and Lucinda and I will be doing the broadcast version, as it were, of the call to worship, but we ask you to join us as well.
My name is Lucinda, and I use she, her.
We've come to worship God,
who loved us before we were yet born,
who knows us even better than we know ourselves,
whose presence never leaves us,
and whose love for us never ceases.
This is our God.
Let us worship together.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And this morning, I'm thinking about songs in conjunction with Reverend Chaz's sermon about liberating us from the captivity of fear. So each of these songs this morning has something to do with fear and release from that fear. Almighty God, help us not to be afraid in this first song. And in the second, Amazing Grace, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. So I invite you to think about those images this morning as we sing together. Please join me.
Make no peace, no peace, no peace with oppression. We will make no peace, no peace. We will make no peace, no peace, no peace with oppression. We will make no peace, no peace. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. We will stand against violence of every form. We will march in the street, no justice, no peace, arm in arm with our neighbor till we all stand free. Almighty God, help us not to be afraid. Almighty God, give us your strength. Almighty us not to be afraid. Almighty God, give us your strength. We won't turn away from the pain of our loved ones, cries of our young ones, grieving of our elders. We won't turn away from destructive politicians. We'll overthrow the prisons, corruption in our system. Almighty God, help us not to be afraid. Almighty God, give us your strength. Almighty God, help us not to be afraid. Almighty God, give us your strength. It again. Almighty God, help us not to be afraid. Almighty God, give us your strength.
Amen.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Creator God, you have loved us passionately into being. We come today seeking your presence and to know we are your beloved. Enter our homes and enter our hearts that we may look into your loving gaze and see ourselves reflected there as you see us. Let our love for one another reflect your perfect love as we gather as your beloved community. And now please join me in the prayer of confession. God of healing, God of wholeness, we bring our brokenness, our sinfulness, our anxiety and despair, and we lay them at your feet. God of healing, God of wholeness, we hold out our hearts and hands, minds and souls to feel your touch and know the peace that only you can bring. God of healing, God of wholeness, this precious moment in your presence and power, grant us strength, faith, and confidence that here broken lives will be made whole. Do not worry. God is near to you now and always. God hears our prayers with compassion and with abundant, steadfast love. Rejoice, for in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free. Thanks be to God.
Set free by the love of God, by the love of Jesus. And we take that freedom, we take that gift that is so freely given, and we share that with others. So let us now take time to share the peace of Christ with our friends here gathered together. So you can go to gallery view and unmute, and let's have some time of holy chaos where we greet one another with the signs of Christ's peace. And may the peace of Christ be with all of you.
And also with you.
Thank you. Peace. Peace, everyone.
Peace to everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
morning. Peace to you, Sarah J. Good to see you.
You can bear.
Good to see you.
Peace to you, Jennifer Rose and Levi.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us, Mitch.
Yes, Mitch. Peace. Great.
Good morning, peace.
Good morning.
Peace. Morning.
Everyone.
Good morning, Sarah.
Peace to you, Mom.
Oh, Oscar, what a good hat.
Good morning, Auntie Laura.
Good morning, Levi.
Good to see you, Chaz.
Peace to you, Sana. And friend, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Darlene and Dick, hi.
Good morning.
Hi, Heather.
Peace. Good morning. Good
morning. Where's Oscar?
He's mowing in the corner.
Very hard work.
He's using his pretend mowing.
Hi, Katie Day.
Lee Pugh. Greetings, Lee, from your new home.
Right. I guess I'm backlit. I have to figure this out.
You will. I'll be over to help you.
Hi, Nicole in Maine.
You just missed us sideways.
Peace to you, Taylor. Good morning.
Good morning. Peace, Max. Peace, Miss Janetta. Your name there.
Greeting, visitors.
Oh, and Helen's here. Helen.
This is now the time in our service where we invite the children and anyone else who would like to join to come closer for the children's time. And if you'd like to be a part of the smaller group of folks who meet in the spotlit part of the Zoom, you can go down to your reactions button on the bottom right-hand side of your Zoom menu and click raise hand. Let's sing together to invite those folks forward. Don't be afraid, my love is stronger, my love is stronger than your fear. Don't be afraid, my love is stronger. And I have promised to be always near.
Peace, good morning. My name is Lucinda, and my pronouns are she and her. And sorry, I don't have a great camera set up this morning for all of my faces to fit in here. But today we're gonna talk about that song that we just heard. And thank you, Pax, for playing that song. That song is one of my favorites and also one of Elizabeth's favorites. And I think it's really an important practice in our faith journey and our journey in the world in general. To ask questions, big questions, even questions that don't have answers right away. And so I'm not sure what your questions are about that song that we just heard. If you have them, you could put them in the chat or you could raise your hand and we can ask them in a minute. But the question that I have about that song is how?
How is God's love stronger than fear? And I know that it's true. I know it's true in my heart. But I wonder about how. Like, in what ways is God's love stronger than fear? And I don't know what you think about that. Oh, thank you. God's love is stronger. The lyrics, I can say them. It would also be great if anyone could put them in the chat. But the lyrics are, don't be afraid. My love is stronger. My love is stronger than your fear. Don't be afraid. My love is stronger. And I promise to be always near. And I think that's one way that when I think about this, I think about the always near part.
And I think about the heart. If you have a heart necklace, you see that this is a heart necklace, and it can give you love inside.
What does it remind you of?
Reminds me of love that you see inside yourself.
Yeah. And that's really important, that God is always near you, right inside of you. And that, I think, can help me not to be afraid, because sometimes I'm afraid when I feel alone, when I feel like I have to do it by myself. That can feel pretty scary. But this song reminds me about how when I'm never alone, that God is with me and God is with you as well. Are there any other, I don't know if you have more answers. You don't have to, because sometimes big questions don't have answers right away. But does anyone else have an idea about how is God's love stronger than fear? The big kids could also answer this too. If any grownups really want to answer, that would be okay too.
Or the little kid.
Yeah. Well, you gave a good answer about God's love being inside of you. And that's a really important thing. Elliot, are you on the verge of saying something?
Our baby can answer. Well,
that's
too.
True. But see how Elliot has his hand up. I wasn't sure. Elliot, do you want to share? No? Okay. So I think that it's good to ask big questions. I think the only other answer I had to this question that I've been thinking about this week is about what Todd showed us last week. Todd showed us a picture of armor that's made of lots of little links and how they're really strong when they are together. And I think that's another way that God's love is stronger, because God's love is all these people together, and we are pretty strong when we are together.
Yeah. When my mom feels alone, I just come right upstairs and help her feel more better. And I give her my necklace that has this on it, and it helps her feel more better.
That's true. I feel this way. Can you pray with me? God, thank you for big questions, and thank you for songs that help us to remember. And thank you for this time to be together. In God's name we pray. Amen.
In this song and in writing this song, I Will Wade, which was a part of our season of going deeper, I think we were thinking a lot about how to go deeper and how to release ourselves from fear in order to do more work, in order to think more deeply, in order to surrender ourselves. And I think fear is a big part of that. So I imagined Jesus talking to the disciples and surrendering their fear by the shore. So I invite you to think about fear, especially in the context of this song, and what it means to wade into the water in that way. Let's sing together.
Jesus said, go out into the water just a little further from the shore. Jesus said, go deeper in the water and you'll find what you're looking for. Jesus said, follow me and leave everything else behind. Lord, I will wave out from the shore. I have faith your grace will meet me there and show me what's in store. I'm not afraid, not anymore. Even though I falter, though I fail, your love will never fade. Lord, I will wait. I will wait. I will wait. Lord, I will wait. Jesus said, surrender all your fear. You don't need said, my friends, give up your fear, leave your boat here on the shore. Jesus said, follow me and leave everything else behind. Lord, I will wait out from the shore. I have faith your grace will meet me there and show me what's in store. I'm not afraid, not anymore. Even though I falter, though I fail, your love will never fade. Lord, I will wait. I will wait. I will wait. Lord, I will wait. I will wait. I will wait. Lord, I will
Today's scripture reading is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, according to my notes. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. It's a gift and a blessing to see your faces, even in tiny little 2-inch form. It's just great to connect with you all. My name's Chaz Howard. He, him, and I am sending you all love from this land that was once walked by Lenni Lenape folks, who we do well to always remember. And I have to just give special gratitude and greetings to my good friend, your wonderful pastor, Reverend Katie, who I was so happy when you accepted the call to come join our community and serve at TAB. And I too have just enjoyed getting to know you, and it's been fun to see you in action a little bit. You know, I don't know if everybody knows, but about a half hour before every service, the sort of worship leaders and folks kind of huddle up, and we'd sort of talk through the service and Shell's DJing behind the scenes and kind of gets to make sure all our sound is tight, and Pax is getting it together and just blessing us this whole day, and Jim and Lucinda get it ready. And I was just so blessed by the way your pastor gently and graciously led us through that. You lead with a democratic gentleness, inviting people in, not a kind of authoritarian heavy-handedness. And you just minister in your manner. So I'm proud to be your colleague and to be your neighbor here in ministry in University City. I'm thankful for you. You're doing really good work. And I got to shout out my advisor, Reverend Dr. Katie Day, who's here. And, you know, just there's so much more I could say, but it just makes me happy to see you anytime I see you. All right, I'll stop giving shout outs, I promise. Okay. It's good to be with you, Paul. I'm doing something right now, like a 4-week, it's like a virtual retreat thing. And it's with this group called Service Space, and a brother named Nipun Mehta is doing this. And so instead of kind of going somewhere for a retreat for a couple of days, they're sort of sending out readings and videos every morning, and they ask people to kind of respond to them. And then we sort of comment on each other's posts. And then once a week, we kind of gather for a chance to sort of share together. And sort of like this slow drip, wonderful retreat. They're calling it a laddership retreat instead of a leadership retreat, kind of a laddership retreat, which is really beautiful. But they asked this question, this heavy question, simple but heavy question earlier this week. And they asked, is the universe or is life fundamentally friendly or scary? Is the universe fundamentally friendly or scary? And, you know, I ended up my kind of reply was something around like, ultimately it depends on the season I'm in. You know, I think there are days where I would have been like, life is amazing. It's super friendly. 10 people said hi to me today. Like, it's beautiful outside. It's all good. And then there are other seasons where I'm like, I don't know. It's kind of scary. You know, I think most days this last year and a half, I probably would have veered towards that. Honestly, like legit, most days these last like 5 years, I probably would have been like, yeah, it's kind of scary. It's kind of hard. And, you know, life is beautiful and life is hard, but there are moments, there's seasons, kind of like now, where for me, it feels pretty intense, pretty scary. You know, there's this this letter that Paul, and Paul is so complicated, but so important in our faith journey and in scripture. And this passage, I keep coming back to this. You know, anytime anyone, the few times I've been invited to sort of guest preach in some spaces, they sort of say, where would you want to preach from? Like, I can't leave this passage in Paul's letter to the Philippians, where it says, be anxious about nothing, but in everything. Through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds forever. This first passage, be anxious about nothing. And Paul's writing, and just for context, Philippi was like an ancient Greek town, pretty important Greek port there in kind of the sort of sea there in ancient Greece. And this church that was planted by Paul and like Timothy and Silas and some other folks, it was sort of very close to Paul's heart. And you remember, you know, Paul sort of was going around from church to church. He goes to Corinth and Ephesus and Philippi and all these sort of different spots, planting churches. And he ends up sort of being this, like a pastor, sort of loving his parishioners, his congregants, and writing this pastoral letter in the same way like your pastor loves you, sort of checked in on you throughout COVID and pulled these services together and is sending messages out and just sort of making phone calls, making sure you're all right. That's what Paul's doing in this passage. He's writing a letter to folks in Philippi in a hard time, in a time where like this whole region is under Roman occupation, where life was pretty fragile back then. And Paul himself is like writing from jail, from prison. He's literally chained while he's writing this letter, telling folks, hey, look, I know life's a lot, but don't be afraid. I'm not sure how I would receive that now. You know, I love when people texted and emailed and called to check up on me. I'm the youngest, and so I have like older siblings who kind of always sort of like look out for me, and they text and they, Chaz, how you holding up? And like, and if they said like, don't be afraid, like, I don't know, y'all, it's a lot to be afraid of. It's a really, really hard time in the world right now. And in fact, I think fear is like the defining characteristic of the United States right now. you know, so much of who we define ourselves as is like independence and kind of this go get them, like innovation in a lot of ways, and this, you know, melting pot kind of, but we don't really sort of like appreciate that. I think at the end of the day, the main characteristic of our culture is fear. I think it's behind so many of our decisions. We end up voting based on politics. You know, it's sort of people poll people in the last couple of elections of why are you voting? And it's not so much because I love my candidates, because I hate that other candidate. I'm afraid of what will happen if that person's in office. Therefore, like, I'll hold my nose and like vote for this person because I am scared to death what's going to happen to our country and our world if that. So fear is motivating our politics. And if fear motivates the news, you know, it goes like, if it bleeds, it leads. And so like the scariest story is sort of the first one that's posted. And fear motivates how we do our money. We sort of hoard money up for retirement and we're sort of scared and maybe save. And a lot of ways it's behind our social media and it's behind education. There's one of our colleagues over at the university, a guy named Tony Rothstein, wrote a book with Janet Hibbs, two psychologists. They wrote a book called The Stressed Years of Our Lives. It's very close to my mind right now as we welcome, you know, 20,000 students back to campus and another several thousand at Drexel and New Sciences right around the corner. And in the book, The Stressed Years of Our Lives, Tony says, the biggest challenge for high schoolers and young college kids is a fear of failure and a destructive perfectionism. A fear of failure and a destructive perfection because they're afraid that like if they fail certain classes, if they don't do well on the SAT, if they don't get good grades, they won't get into a good college. If they don't get into a good college, they can't get a good job. If they don't have a good job, they won't have money and live in the suburbs and send their kids to good schools. And like, and they're afraid of like, if I don't post on social media, then people won't think I'm cool. But if I do post, people might not like it. And if no one thinks I'm cool, I'll have to sit by myself and I'll be alone. And like this sort of whirlwind of fear that's tormenting our kids. And it's not just our kids, it's us too. Like afraid of what will happen at work, or what will our peers think of us here, or will someone leave me, or will I be alone? And like, I'm scared for my kids, and I'm just like, it's just a lot. And I don't want to belittle it. There's a lot to be nervous about in the world. We're in the midst of a generational event, a pandemic that has taken a lot of lives, including people close to us, and the economic fallout from it. And the loneliness and isolation that's come from this, and the world events right now, the real pain we're seeing in Afghanistan and Haiti and Yemen and Cuba. And there's like a hurricane going back to, of all places, New Orleans again. Ongoing challenges in the Middle East and like threats to our voting rights and contemporary policing. Like there's just a lot. And you tell me, don't be anxious, Paul. With all that's going on in the world, I don't want to hear your Christianese right now. It lands on my ears like when God closes a door, he opens a window. Like, okay, right. Yeah, like, and I know there's a lot going on in the world, but be anxious about nothing. Like, what? It feels like we're living in hell right now. There's a lot to be anxious about. How can you tell me to not be afraid? It's an interesting passage, though, that I think is taken a little bit out of context. You know, sort of like the memory verse and like those like old Bible camps and stuff. What they would cut out and sort of ask you to memorize was just what we read, be anxious about nothing, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. But it's the verse right before it that I think is key. And I think Lucinda really got to this in her message earlier. The verse before it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to God. And the Lord is near. The sentence before it says, be anxious about nothing. It says, the Lord is near. I am kind of sleepy right now. Because last night, My little, I have three daughters, and I have two teenagers who are like probably still asleep right now, honestly. But I have a little one, little elementary school kid named Evie. And she's not a great sleeper. And last night she sort of came in, and she's hilarious because I'll be sort of asleep and she'll kind of like hover over me like this and kind of wait for me to wake up, like, "Daddy, Daddy, are you asleep?" And I'm like, "Clearly, like, yeah, I know you hear me snoring. I'm asleep. I'm scared. I'm scared." Some nights it's the wind. Some nights it's like what we read and she had a bad dream. Might be like school's getting ready to start in a week or so. I'm scared. But you know what helps her go back to bed? It's that her parents are nearby. And all she needs usually is like a sleepy hug. And I kind of get up and I'm kind of like stumbling around. And I kind of walk her back in and I'll tuck her in and give her a kiss on her forehead. And I go back to bed. The reminder that there's someone with us. It does not take away the things that cause fear. Note that in Paul's letter, he's not saying like, don't worry about the Roman occupation. Don't worry about the other sort of challenges that are making life hard. But I want you to focus on the fact that you're not alone. I hope you captured this image when we saw the children's sermon. And like, you know, parents and guardians kind of just loving their kids, holding them. And like, you know, what's cool cat on their head, like a dragon wings, and kind of like on camera there. And parents are kind of just there right with them. And like send his kids like a cool like heart necklace and they're sitting there and like just this deep love, like Oscar's on the move running around there, and like parents who have created wonderful wide berth who love and are there no matter what. So these kids know like it's okay to be myself. It's okay to kind of speak up. It's going to be okay no matter what's going on because like somebody's nearby. I want you to hear that clearer than anything else. This is good news. One of the great things about our tradition, sort of this faith that we're in, this Christianity, it's not just about this kind of salvific nature of God's love for us. It's about this grace. Every single day, life is hard. It's hard to be you sometimes. But the good news is you're not alone. That there is someone who loves you, who is near. I promise you, this God is near. But the trap is in life, I think we forget that. And so my challenge to you, those of us who kind of are on the academic calendar, like our year's kind of beginning now, or others of us are kind of moving into the fall right now, my challenge to you, give yourself little reminders so that you don't forget. like that little heart necklace who's in this kid had earlier. You know, to me, I forget this so often. Like I need to read that verse every single morning. I truly do. It's like the first thing before my feet hit the ground, I have like a little prayer thing next to me. And I read those words every day. The Lord is near. Be anxious about nothing. I put it on your refrigerator. Make it your screensaver. If you're hardcore Philly like me, I got a tatted on my arm. I don't recommend to do that necessarily, but you know, whatever. If you're really Philly, you get it like on your neck. That might be a little much. That's cool. But somewhere so that you don't forget that you are not alone. And then help others remember too. As you go into this next season, I hope you remember that. Whatever may come, Lord is near. Amen.
be afraid. My love is stronger. My love is stronger than your fear. Don't be afraid. My love is stronger, and I have promised, promised to be always near. Don't be afraid. My love is stronger. My love is stronger than
I think the Lutherans have an expression, God's work, our hands. And I was thinking today how we can be that sort of sleepy hug to others and ease some of their anxiety, which is something we accomplish through our offerings. I've accidentally posted before I wanted to give electronically. You can text any amount to 84321 and please include like a tags so we know where to direct it. Or you can go online at tabunited.org/contribute, which will take you to the site where you can make your donation. And again, you have options for like how to direct it, whether it's your pledge or open plate or other. Thank you.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. And Holy Ghost.
as our gifts today are gathered, we are assured that they will demonstrate that God is near both to us and to others through the actions that are taken. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jim, for that prayer and invitation. This is the time in our service where we open up the space for our prayers and to lift up our hearts. You might have a struggle you'd like to lift up, or a concern, or a joy, a thanksgiving you'd like to share. And so this is the time where we can share those things and lift them up to God and also to the community, so that we can be holding, both celebrating with one another and also sharing each other's burdens and carrying and being near to one another. So this is the time to do that. We invite you to share in the chat feature if you'd like. Perhaps this morning there's a particular fear that you would like to voice or lift up and put at God's feet. And so you can do that. Certainly there's no pressure to do that out loud. If you want to do that in the silence of your heart, God hears those prayers too. So let's share now. And I invite you to do that freely as you feel led to share those prayers in the chat. And Lucinda, in just a moment, will be reading those for us so that we can hear them as well. So you can begin doing that. And in the as we start, I want to share the mic here for a moment with Megan Gibson, who is going to share a little bit about some opportunities for us to both be praying for the Afghan refugees coming here to Philadelphia, but also some ways that we can be of support. So Megan, I'll hand it over to you here for a moment.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Katie. As many of you all know, you know, there is tremendous work being done to, you know, rescue people, Afghan people, some people that are U.S. citizens from Afghanistan. And just yesterday, and I believe today as well, Philadelphia has received hundreds of Afghan refugees, many of whom are unaccompanied minors. You know, so we're thankful that these folks have been able to get out of Afghanistan. But obviously coming here, there is a great need for support. There are many ways that you can support. I just wanted to share with you that Raquel has been working with folks, helping to get people out, and then also has been coordinating with folks to get the people that do arrive in Philadelphia the things that they need. And I'm going to share more details with you as they come in, but there will be an opportunity for folks to drop off donations to the Friends Center downtown. The Friends Center is going to be accepting donations for a week. There will be specific drop-off times, and that's the information that I'll share with you all via Tab News. But if you could just start gathering items, so new underwear, new socks, gently used clothing, whether they be long sleeve, shorts, some short sleeve things are okay as well. Blankets, children's toys, new children's toys if possible. And there'll be more. I mean, there's going to be opportunities for food donations as well, but I just wanted to kind of put that out there to you all to keep that in your heart and so that you can, you know, start to gather items, and I'll send out more information soon. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Megan. So we will follow up, and Megan's going to send out something on our listserv to when that information comes in. So if you're not on our listserv, you can also let us know so we can make sure to get that information. Thanks, Megan. We'll continue to lift up those folks and that work in our prayers, and also giving thanks for Raquel this morning too and her work in all of that. So let's continue now in our prayers, and I'll just let folks take a moment to share through the chat, and Lucinda, if you want to read as those prayers come in. Let's continue praying together.
Prayer this morning from Chaz. Grateful for your prayers for my oldest, who is applying to college and discerning where she will attend. feeling exciting, joy, hope, and grief at her potential moving out in a year. Speaking of college kids, would love your prayers for safety of all Penn students and all college students in our area. God in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
From Amanda. My best friend, Jamie, has been overwhelmed by anxiety due to excessive work pressures, and they could really use some extra prayer. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Chris, for everyone in and around New Orleans, for people who have friends and family there, for everyone directly experiencing climate collapse. God, in your mercy. From Geneva, for the people of Haiti who are still struggling from multiple challenges. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Ariana Parrish, prayer for my architecture exam tomorrow. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Ed, I want to say a prayer for people who struggle to reach out for help, especially men who are socialized to believe that they should be self-sufficient and that asking for help is a sign of weakness. I also want to ask for prayers for myself. I am going through a tough time and I too suffer from a difficulty in reaching out for help. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Pray for our youngest daughter as she has a court hearing tomorrow regarding the custody of her children. Fearful about this and asking God for help. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Prayers for New Orleans, for hospital workers in New Orleans who are already overwhelmed. Oh, excuse me. Okay. From Chris Page. Okay, I can help you in just a minute. I welcome your prayers as I return to the grind of the fall semester. I could use another month or two of summer. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Elizabeth, for my colleague Woodler, who lost multiple family members in Haiti this past week. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Prayers for our family this week as we live through the first anniversary of our dad's passing. Let us remember that God is always near. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Vic, grateful for the life of my mother, Louise, who lived a good and beautiful life for 105 years before dying last week. We celebrate her many gifts. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Lee, I'd be grateful for your prayers as I continue to adjust from my move. Bouts of loneliness have been hard. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Ariana Parrish, grateful and thankful for my granddad who just passed away. May he rest in peace with my grandma. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
Thank you to all of you who have shared in this way. We lift up all of these prayers and the sacredness of each life and each situation that we have lifted up. And we know that God is near and is holding these prayers even as we speak them and carrying them with us. And so we We give thanks for all that has been voiced, and we lift up as well all of the prayers that remain on our hearts that perhaps we couldn't find words to express. God hears them too. So let us sing now as we lift up all that is on our hearts. Gracious God, we come before you. We already have been here before you, lifting up our hearts. We thank you, God, that in this moment we recognize that we are not alone. Even just being here in this service of worship, we have already been reoriented to the world as you see it. A world that is connected, where we are connected, where no one stands alone or independent of anything else, but we are intimately connected to your creation, to the air, to the trees, to one another. God, thank you for reorienting us to that. That we are also closer to you than perhaps we even imagined. And God, that you are close to us, that you are near to us. We thank you for that reminder this morning through Chaz's sermon and through the music and through the children's time. Your nearness, O God, is real, but we forget. And so we ask, God, that you would help us today and throughout this week to cling to that true word that is so deep, and yet we so easily forget. Help us to cling to that true word, to remind ourselves of the truth of your nearness in all that we do. So God, we ask this, and we lift up together all the prayers that have been spoken and unspoken. We hold them up and we lift them up together. We carry one another's burdens. We celebrate one another's joys. And God, we thank you for Jesus and for his radical love and nearness to us also today. We thank you that he taught us to pray, and that we, particularly when we don't have words or we're struggling to find a way to pray, he teaches us again to pray this prayer that is radical and reorienting. So let us now take a moment and pray these words again. Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our closing song, There Is More Love Somewhere, was written and comes out of hundreds and hundreds of years of struggle for African Americans. And in singing this song together as a community today, we add our voices to the call for an end to racial oppression in our midst and around the world. Let's sing together.
Everybody, a 30-second preamble to the benediction. I'm in my neighborhood, the leaves are falling, reminding me that the season's about to change. And in some ways that can be scary, but I think change can be good when we've been hoping and praying for it. And earlier, Pax sang a song called Amazing Grace, written by someone named John Newton. And if there's any figure in contemporary Christian history who changed, it's John Newton, who growing up and in his early adult years was a captain of a slave ship which captured enslaved Africans and brought them to the West. And he became wealthy off of this. And then has a major season change in his life where God kind of breaks through and speaks to his heart. And he ends up going into ministry and being an abolitionist in England, playing an important role in the end of the institution of slavery. That's feel like there's some of us who are praying and hoping that someone in our lives will have a change of heart. Be it someone who doesn't love us and accept us for who we are, or someone who holds kind of cruel positions, or distant people and elected officials who'd seem kind of villainous. I pray as we leave this virtual place that we see the seasons around us change, that we are reminded that people too can change. They truly can. They can certainly at least change their positions and opinions and grow and move into a new season of life themselves. So go, knowing that the Lord is near, God is near, and change is coming. Amen.